It's 6 minutes past 11, Alive 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren.
I can't believe how quick that hour goes. It really does. It's just an amazing flash before us, and great people telling their stories. I'm really delighted to have Darren, a person that I met some years ago, and we've kept a relationship for a whole host of reasons. One is that I think he's just a really decent person and has got a great story to tell about entrepreneurial spirit, and it gives me great pleasure to say welcome in the studio is John Kugel, the co-founder and managing director of Gone Bush Adventures. Good morning, John.
Jim, thank you so much, and thanks, Darren, for having me. It's great to be here.
You think a lot, and I just want to let our listeners know, you think about how you can connect people and how you can make their lives a better place as a result of you being that connector between them. Am I right in saying that? Is that what one of your major goals are?
Yeah, I think you'd be right, Jim, for sure. I think I'm growing to realize that even more, just the power of being able to be a connection point for possibilities for people and for beautiful things to emerge. And it's something that we've been lucky to see a lot at our networking and nature events, where people from all walks of life are coming, meeting, being inspired, and sparking these beautiful connections off the back of it. And just, realizing that more and more, it's a really special part of what we're able to do.
Oh, I know Darren gets a lot of fulfillment and spiritual development and in your self journeys of riding cycling, and I'm really interested in your story with regards to how this gives you fulfillment, because I know when you put people together, you have a real twinkle in your eye when you do things.
Yeah, I do. I've felt like I've had to pinch myself so many times along the Gone Bush journey, especially taking groups of people and taking them out to nature. So combining two of my favorite things of connecting people, but then bringing them into nature in a place.
And generally those people don't know each other, do they? They meet in this environment, and this is your business, and you start a journey over a couple of hours.
Yeah, it can go either way. It's either they've never met each other before and we're coming together and getting to know each other over the course of an experience in nature, or it is a group of people, say a company team or a group from an organization who work together or collaborate in some way, but they're coming together for a bit of a different experience together.
And why do you think that model works?
I think it works because it's great to step outside of the everyday and to step back, put down the tools from what you're doing and
take the masks off.
Take the masks off and open up an exploration of different perspectives and be a bit more expansive in looking at what you're doing, stepping back and trying to connect with a bigger context to what you're doing. And I think being in nature is a great place, because it's a place where we just naturally feel at home, and it's a place that's nurtured us throughout our evolutionary development. So I think it's no surprise that when we go to nature, for example, and when we start just walking and breathing that clean air, that we feel at peace, we feel comfortable, and we feel, more able to open up, to speak our truth, to be vulnerable, to share, and to, as a result, to grow and to go new places that maybe we wouldn't be able to do in an everyday scenario, like sitting around a boardroom table or sitting at our cubicles in the office. It's an opportunity to connect at a different level and to expand, your collective consciousness, but also push yourself individually to new places. And we try and frame it in this container to be a positive experience, to really be a worthwhile journey that you're on, and always trying to help people move forward in that way.
Thanks, John, for joining us today on Spotlight. My question to you, why do you think nature enables teams to find a different connection than they normally do in, say, a boardroom? Is it this open space? Is there other things that we may not understand until we're actually out there with you, your team, and with nature?
It's a good question, Darren. And I know you're known for your good questions, so started off well. I think the thing about being in nature, first and foremostly, it seems to be a great leveler. So organizations have seen the benefit of, you know, a bit of a flattening of the hierarchy and a bit more openness in terms of facilitating and sharing ideas. I think being in nature is an ultimate leveler. It puts us in a much bigger picture. It allows us to see ourselves in part of a much bigger world, and it's quite humbling for the ego, and it's a place of being able to listen more openly and take on board new things. So I think it's a place where if people have in their everyday rhythms got certain masks that they're wearing or certain barriers that they might be putting up, which many of us often are, I think in the bush, a lot of that does get stripped away and you're back to a much more human-to-human type of connection. And I think that, especially in a super fast-paced, high-pressurized office environment, say that teams might be regularly collaborating within, it's a real contrast to be in a place that all of a sudden the deadlines are stripped away, the pressures are stripped away, and you're super present with the experience.
So a follow-up question, how easy does nature make it for you to help do team building exercises? And a different way of asking that question, how do you find being in nature helps you to facilitate team building exercises?
I think it helps tremendously because we don't have to try as hard. I feel as though in nature we don't have to contrive as many activities or be too over the top to find metaphors to make points. I think the metaphors are all around when we're in nature, and I think the mere experience of being on an adventure, putting that one foot in front of the next, going from place to place through so many transitions of environment and surroundings and taking it all in, taking in the fatigue, taking in the energy, taking it all in and being a part of it is just something so special that you don't need a team building activity almost outside of just being in that environment together and being helped to really get the most from it.
We're going to go to a little break, John. It's a real delight to have you in the studio today with Dan and myself on Spotlight, talking about a different environment where people can grow and connect, critical in this day and age, particularly post-COVID. You're on Alive 90.5 on Spotlight.
And John, I believe you have a song request that you want us to play.
Yes, I do. It's Ice House, Great Southern Land.
And here it is on Alive 90.5 Spotlight.
Alive 90.5.
Proud sponsors Linden Electric have been best in class since 1977, providing unparalleled electrical expertise in commercial, industrial and laboratory solutions. This dynamic family-run team prides themselves on over 43 years worth of client-focused results based on their core values of quality, safety and integrity. Linden Electric, experts in electrical, 9890 9663 or email james@linden.net.au for a booking. Station sponsor.
It's 20 minutes past 11, Alive 90.5 Spotlight, Jim and Darren.
Darren, I'm really delighted on hearing the story that John's telling our listeners, the co-founder and managing director of Gone Bush Adventures. John, you've got one without giving too much particulars with regards to it in Brisbane soon. Tell us about that and so people get an idea of what types of things you do for professionals and individuals.
Yeah, sure, Jim. So coming up in Brisbane, we've got a retreat, a three-day retreat in nature with a group of school principals. They're all from different schools but part of the same family, which happens to be part of the Brisbane Catholic Schools Network. We've been running these retreats with Brisbane Catholic Schools the last 3 years, and we take a group of 15 school principals out for 3 days focusing on nourishment and well-being, so spiritual nourishment, emotional, physical nourishment, social nourishment, and allow them a chance to really connect in with their peer community, which principals don't always get the chance to do because they're, you know, at an apex point within their organizations where all the pressures sort of conform right on them and they've sort of got no one else to share that experience with. So it's a chance for them to get together and spend 3 days having that connection, but then also going deep into nature and being facilitated through a whole range of experiences that help them really reconnect with their physical, spiritual, emotional, mental and social well-being. And that's led by the Gombush team of facilitators, and we work with a network of specialist facilitators as well as nature guides who help bring people's attention to how incredible the natural world is when we're actually out enjoying the experience.
And you're telling Darren and I through the break that you actually take Indigenous leaders to tell their story about their land walking with these people.
That's right. We do. And that's for me probably the most enjoyable part of my job as well, aside from that feeling of being a connection point and seeing people come together, is being privy to the wisdom of the Indigenous culture and those Aboriginal elders that we get to walk alongside and introduce into our programs just enrich them beyond belief and beyond measure. There's just so much wisdom in that culture, as you would expect with, you know, 50, 60, 100,000 years of being in this land and learning from it that they've got to share. And I find that the audience is always really receptive, and it always sparks such interesting ways of thinking and connections when we do allow the Indigenous community to have a voice in these programs.
And I understand we have a great Indigenous culture here in Western Sydney, and you run some programs locally in Parramatta Park with City of Parramatta Council. Can you share a bit more about them with our listeners this morning?
Absolutely. Well, following some of Jim's advice early on in running the business, we decided to join some networking groups and some chambers of commerce. One of the chambers of commerce that we joined was the Parramatta Chamber of Commerce. And for the last couple of years, we've collaborated with them on an event series in the Parramatta Parklands. City of Parramatta is also involved. And we invite in a local Darug facilitator to join us on a morning walk around the gardens with business and community leaders. And we explore well-being and leadership and community and what that means, but through the lens of traditional culture. So we learn about different aspects of Aboriginal culture from the local area. And then we overlay that with how those insights might be relevant to today's context with what everyone is going through in their lives, in their organizations, in their community groups. And that's, again, always, it's such a powerful and interesting experience. That event itself begins with a traditional smoking ceremony, which for if anyone has never partaken in one of those, is a really powerful experience and a really grounding experience to actually just remind you with the fact that you're on country, you're on this timeless land, and you have and humans have always had a deep connection with it. And it's good to be re-reminded of that, particularly as modern life moves further and further away from the natural world.
Darren, your question's a good one, particularly with regards to the locality of Parramatta. Can anyone, like our listeners listening now, could they join that when you've got them on in Parramatta?
Yeah, they absolutely could. That event has been positioned at the start of each year as sort of a welcome to the new year. So that one is on each February, and City of Parramatta and Parramatta Chamber of Commerce publish the details in advance. So as do the Parramatta Parklands. So if people are in the area and wanting to get involved, they should have the chance to hear about it. But if not, they can follow Gombush Adventures online, and all the public events that we run, we regularly post both through our newsletter and through our social media platforms.
So, John, you've been talking a lot about connecting sometimes very kind of high-powered, privileged people who may have not known how to connect with nature but connect with each other. Are you able to share any sort of insights into how some of these people come away, and I'll use the word changed, in such a way to say that they work better with their teams, but they really see an opening because of the connection that you have facilitated between them, their team, and nature?
Yep. Yeah, I'd be happy to share a few examples.
If you
and
can,
it's funny
nothing
because
personal, but yeah.
Yeah, and oftentimes the powerful ones you would expect happen on the longer trips, where perhaps people come in and they're a little bit resistant or hesitant about the experience and take a little while just to really relax and settle in and start to enjoy what they're being a part of. But you do see people so often have those sort of aha moments, have realizations about what they've done in their professional life or what they're working on, or even receiving advice from their colleagues that they just haven't had access to before because they've never been in an environment where they've been able to be so open to explore ideas on that level. So I think, we regularly see people going back enriched. And one of the great projects where we get to see the ongoing effect of our work is with Bupa. We work with Bupa on their Future Leaders program. So all their emerging leaders from around the country, retail stores, as well as their customer support networks, get together and go through this leadership development program together each year. We support that with Gombush experiences, and we're able to see then those young leaders go back into the business over the coming years and see the impact they make. And it's amazing to see people come back in following years programs as alumni who've now become senior leaders within the business off the back of, you know, some of the momentum and insights and connections that were sparked on their Gombush experiences and on those really special times away that we got to enjoy. So it's nice to see when you see the lasting impact of these experiences within organizations, but also within the people. You just see they've got a new vigor about them, a new energy, and it's nice to feel as though the experience we created has contributed to that.
Absolutely fantastic. John, it's been a real pleasure to have you with Dan and herself on Spotlight this morning. We wish you all the very best with your endeavours and your entrepreneurial development of your businesses. You bring great joy to people. One last quick question. You're going to have dinner tonight. Darren and I want to know who you're going to have dinner with. What three people would you like to have dinner with tonight? Tough question.
Well, I'm having dinner tonight with three other people, and I'm very happy with that choice of people. That's my partner, Christina, and I'd love to have dinner with her every night. And two of our dearest friends, Alan Reaver and Nayeli Francio, who live in DY. And Alan is someone we work closely with, but we also have a really great friendship with. So we're going to have a picnic while watching the sunset on the cliffs over DY Beach.
Absolutely wonderful. John, thanks for being with us. Happy Easter. And thank you again for being on Spotlight with Darren and Jim.
Thanks so much, Darren. Thanks, Jim.
Have a great morning.
Alive 90.5.